May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is so, so good to be with you today, to be back together in this place, digesting scripture and sacrament. Again, you have been here, but I was away for a little while, and it's really, really nice to see everyone. And it's so good that I brought a few questions with me. So I wonder, how do you understand the good news? What does it mean to you? Where have you heard it, seen it, tasted it, touched it, felt it? Did it appear the way you expected? And have you always believed it when it arrived? Think about it for a moment. I ask these questions because sometimes I think the good news appears to us in unexpected places. Sometimes it can be hard to believe. And sometimes it doesn't sound the way we thought it would. I imagine that to the community in Isaiah, living amidst the expansion of the Assyrian Empire, political upheaval between Israel and Judah, the promise of God's shelter sounded like really good news, but it might have been a little far out and hard to believe. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, Isaiah writes. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. God has broken the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, and for all those who were in anguish, there will be no gloom. Imagine the skeptics. Really? In the middle of all this, you're saying that? But still, the prophet proclaimed hope for the future, resorting to such extreme tactics as walking in the street naked to get his point across. That same message of hope for the exiled and the oppressed, for the grieving and the endangered, the promise of God's safety and shelter rings throughout Scripture. I hear it in the promise of the resurrection. Death is defeated. God's love reigns. It's the promise of salvation. And it can be hard to believe good news like this when everything seems stacked against you, or life's burdens and griefs weigh heavily. This is especially true in a world that seems to turn towards death at every opportunity. But there it remains, constant, whether we believe it or not. I heard echoes of this same good news earlier this week in a more unexpected place than Scripture. I was reading Ann Patchett's most recent collection of essays, These Precious Days. Patchett is perhaps better known for her fiction or for her Nashville bookstore, but she's written essays for many years as well. One passage in particular stood out. It was late at night, and the adult Patchett had been reading the children's author, Kate DiCamillo. There, lying in bed, she wrote that it opened in her an ability to see and feel things that were very far from her. In that moment, Patchett asked her loved ones, now gone, to return to her. Her dog, Rose, her father, her stepfather, grandmother, a dear friend. And they arrived, folding her into their arms. There had never been a moment like this in my life, she writes. So much love, all of it free from doubt or exhaustion or misunderstanding. This love had always been there. It would always be there, no matter how I rewrote it or forgot it. From reading DiCamillo, Patchett got the ability to walk through the door where everything she thought had been lost was, in fact, waiting for her. All of it. The trick was being brave enough to look. Perhaps this has happened to you. You're going along about your day when all of a sudden you feel the presence of God deep in your bones. Just then, it happened to me, and reading Patchett's words, I cried. It was such an eloquent expression of the love of God, of what I imagine heaven is like, that arrival to unconditional warmth and care and tenderness. Death holds no power there. Love, free from doubt or exhaustion or misunderstanding, reigns eternal. And all this sounded like capital G, capital N, good news to me. A proclamation indeed of God's love and salvation, like Isaiah promised. I wasn't expecting to find it there, but there it was. A testament to the creativity and power of the Holy Spirit. A moment of divine grace peeking around a corner. The good news can arrive in unexpected places, and as maybe we all know, it can be hard to believe. But what about when it doesn't sound the way we thought it would? What about when, on the surface, it doesn't sound like good news at all? Reading our gospel, that's the question that stuck with me. Instead of a promise of safety and security, Matthew seems to call us in the very opposite direction. Can that be good news too? Preaching repentance, Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee and called out to two brothers who were fishing. "Follow me," he said, "and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, Matthew writes, they left their nets and followed him. The same thing happens with James and John, who leave their father behind too, beside their boats and nets. Maybe the fishermen had heard of Jesus before, had an inkling of what he meant with his call to fish for people. Maybe they were feeling restless in their work, waiting for something new to come along. Maybe they were happy and fulfilled in their lives, with no desire for any change at all. I don't know, but I can't help imagining how I would respond if a stranger called me out of my daily routine, my community, into a world totally unknown. I don't know that it would sound like good news. Would it to you? For me, at the very least, it would be hard to swallow. This call to follow Jesus into the unknown seems like an invitation into those very things I thought God promised us relief from. And that's because it is. For just as much as God promises us safety and shelter in God's arms, in God's loving embrace, the ultimate defeat of death, we are called to follow Jesus on a way that leads to a cross. The good news, the way of Christ, is not secure. It involves risk, the risk of love and care beyond ourselves. And I wonder if this was part of the challenge of the Corinthians. Extending love to those we disagree with is difficult. The message about the cross can sound foolish, after all, even while it is the saving power of God. For those of us who enjoy safety, security, the stability in our daily lives, who can move through the world with ease, I think this bit pill is even bigger and stickier going down. We live in a world that sells us a false notion of good news that ends with us, with the self, and I have bought it too. If I am fed, if my family is cared for, if our problems are addressed, then I can rest peacefully. That's God's desire for my life. It's not, though. Ultimately, the call to follow Jesus and proclaim his good news is not about us. It's not about me or you. Jesus loves us. He calls us by name, and through that, we are invited into something much, much larger, called to something much greater than our own safety, our own security. We are called to love God and to share God's love with the world around us, to help bring about the kingdom here on earth. Stepping into the unknown to follow Christ, we have to look deeply within and around us, taking account of even those few things that feel the most holy and secure, giving them up if we find they do not cultivate God's love in us and around us. It can be terrifying to start something new, to look through that door, to risk something big for something good. And so we have to be brave enough to look, and look together, following Jesus like Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and following the rest of our family in Christ who have gone before us and show us the way. Whether the good news is hard to believe, or comes in an unexpected form or place, whether it scares us or challenges us or sets our hearts on fire, God's love will be there waiting to receive us, no matter what. And that is very good news indeed. Amen.